Hey, listen, are you thinking about buying tickets to your favorite sports, concert, or theater event? Maybe you want to experience a basketball game courtside rather than on your couch. Maybe you go to a hockey game and you bang on the glass instead of your own TV in your own living room. Then head on over to FanExchange.com for a safe, easy, and reliable experience. Tickets purchased on FanExchange are always guaranteed. There's no getting to the gate and worrying about getting in. So whether it's NBA, Major League Baseball, WrestleMania, Coachella, maybe a Broadway musical, FanExchange will get you closer to the action. Find the very best seats at the best prices at FanExchange.com. Use the promo code Rome, and you'll get 50% off the service fees on your next purchase. Fan Exchange. We have tickets. That's Fan Exchange. What's cracking? A tremendous Monday to you. Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Hope you had a great weekend. We are live in Southern California, and I am broadcasting from the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Quicken Loans, what's up? Nice to have you here. All right, everything in full swing. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball, lots to cover. Let's not waste time. Telephone number is available and wide open right now. Use it. Hit me up right now, 1-800-636-8686. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. If you want to hit me on Twitter, that works too. Follow me at Jim Rome. Also, you can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Again, we are all over the NHL playoffs and the NBA playoffs, starting with some hockey coming up in about 15 minutes. An analyst with NBC, the NHL on NBC, Pierre Maguire. I always run him down this time of year. We're going to get him in about 15 minutes from right now, Pierre Maguire. Then, in hour number two, a senior NBA writer for Yahoo Sports, Chris Mannix. Also in hour number three, we talk Portland Trailblazer basketball. The president of basketball operations for that team, Neil Olshey, will be my guest. Those are the three that we have and lots to cover. Jump in. Also, one programming note. Instead of Podcast Tuesday, we've got Podcast Monday. If I'm getting out in front of it and I'm going to break it early and drop it early, it must be a good one. Ep 33 of the Jim Rome Podcast is with Kobe Bryant. I've already had the conversation. It is a great conversation. So look for that later on today. If you're already subscribed, that episode will find you. You don't have to go looking for it. If you're not subscribed, you're going to want to. Kobe Bryant, episode 33, and your voicemails. That's going to drop after the program today. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. Now, I gave some consideration as to where to start this morning. Coming off a big weekend, so where do you start? Got to start with the NBA playoffs. And if there is one lesson to come from all the series openers this weekend, it's got to be this. Philadelphia is coming fast, and you better look the hell out. The Sixers were playing in their first playoff game since 2012, and they were supposed to be too raw, too young for the postseason. They were supposed to be shocked by how the intensity ramps up in the playoffs. And most of all, they were supposed to take a step back without Joel Embiid. And sure enough, they were down 6 to Miami at the end of the first quarter. Too much, too soon. Trust the process, but trust that the process has got plenty of steps in it, and making the playoffs might have been the biggest step of all. Now, if you thought that and turned the game off at that point, then you missed something spectacular. Philadelphia 130, Miami 103. It's like Philadelphia tasted its own blood and then started to pummel Miami. 1-3 after another, 18 in all, and I'm not sure who was hotter, the Sixer players or the Sixer fans, because that barn was electric. Five guys with 17 or more, including J.J. Redick with 28. They won their first playoff game in 6 years by 27 on a night where Joel Embiid didn't even play. But that doesn't mean that he didn't make a contribution, because he does. The phantom of the process was in the house, and he was ringing the bell before the game and then celebrating on the bench throughout the game. Oh, and then there was his casual Instagram game as well. If you scroll through his Instagram feed, there's something there too. A shot of him from a game. Him with a ball in the post. Him hugging LeBron, jawing with Draymond, and a nice trip down memory lane. Except not with Joel, because this guy's always working on another level. Look closer. Look at the opponents. Miami, Boston, Cleveland, Golden State. What's that tell you? That's the path to the title. The phantom of the process is showing the path. I mean, this guy really is an international treasure. But maybe his absence from game one allowed the casual fan to appreciate Ben Simmons even more. Because give me a minute so I can talk to you about Ben Simmons. And if you haven't woken up to this guy yet, I suggest you do it immediately. Because Benjamin David Simmons is borderline unfair. Look at his numbers. 17 points, 14 assists, 9 rebounds, and he did it in his first playoff game. He was one rebound away from a triple-double in his playoff debut. He absolutely murdered the Heat. Ben Simmons, surrounded by shooters, should be illegal. But don't take it from me. What's it matter what I think? Listen to Duane. Duane said, quote, "Ben is great, man. The way he sees the floor, the way he attacks, he's quick, he's athletic, and he's patient as hell as well. He kind of lulls you to sleep, and then boom, it's over. Ben is Ben. It's the other guys we've got to kind of worry about. Focus on a little bit more than Ben. Ben is going to do Ben just like LeBron is going to do LeBron." End quote. Would you look at that? We haven't finished his first full season, and a future Hall of Famer is already mentioning this kid in the same breath as LeBron. 1 year into his career, and he's already one of the best players in the game. We're just a couple of years away from him potentially being the best player in the game. A 6'10" cat with a handle and that kind of vision. If he gets a lethal jumper, it says here he will too, by the way, then you can go ahead and cancel Christmas. I mean, I don't know if LeBron was watching that game and thinking about a possible move to Philadelphia, but I was and I am. Because right now I am in all, completely all in with this group. I mean, look at the numbers for 1 minute. They won 47 games in Brett Brown's first 3 seasons as head coach. They won 52 games this year, and they've got that playoff win. That's 17 wins in a row, including 9 straight without the big man. I'll say it again. Look the hell out. And I'm not talking about this series now. I'm talking about the next 5 years. Because if things keep going this well, let me turn it over to Duane once again. He says, quote, "They're not going to let you stop them from doing one thing. That's what makes them a different group. From the standpoint of, that's what's made Golden State special for all these years. They've had other things to go to when people were just worried about the three. All the things is what makes them very good. But ultimately, they're beatable." I'll tell you what, they are. Now, they're beatable right now because they're still learning. In fact, if you want to beat these guys, you better do it right now. Tonight is a huge game for them because if ever there was a case for a letdown, it would be tonight, and they still will not have Joel Embiid back. But listen to me right now and then remember this later. I'm not saying Philadelphia is going to win a title this year, but I'm saying that Duane has seen the future, I have seen the future, and the future is Philly. And if Wade knows it, and we all know it, then I'm guessing LeBron also knows it. 1-800-636-8686. I'm blown away by how well they're playing right now, how good they look right now, and what their upside is, what their ceiling is. And they're doing it without Joel Embiid, and they're going to get him back. And you can't tell me LeBron's not aware of what's going on. Especially considering LeBron of the Cavs just got punched in the face in game one. Something that never happens to that guy. Not in the postseason, not in the first round, and not in the first game. So lots to cover regarding the playoffs. 1-800-636-8686. Hey, Philly fan, go ahead. Get up in here. You earned it. The city of champs. And they look like they're going to get another one. Maybe not right now. Maybe not this year. But they're going to get another one. You look at what they're building. The monster and bully they're building there. It's not a question of if, it's a matter of when. Houston Rockets were waiting all year long to get to this point, and they nearly let it get away in game one against the T-Wolves. They took care of their business, but not before the Beard stepped up and did what he does. In addition to all of that, that Dez Bryant story broke late Friday. And I mentioned when that story went down that it was pretty amazing that the Cowboys were able to keep that thing under wraps the way they were, that they were able to keep that as quiet as they did. But then, given who that team is, given who that player is, when that thing finally did go down, you knew there was going to be a lot of noise. And there has been. Dez has been on Twitter, retweeting all the love that he's getting, and also pointing the finger at the guys that he thinks are responsible for him getting broken off in Dallas. So more thoughts on Dez Bryant, which I will have a little bit later on. I mentioned Podcast Monday. Kobe Bryant is going to join me. That podcast will drop a little bit later on today. Also, I want to talk to you about my weekend. Over the weekend, I went to Javier's. You may wonder why I'm starting with that on a Monday morning. The reason for that was there was a great, great celebrity slash athletic sighting at Javier's in Crystal Cove that I've got to share with you. Who do you think I ran into there? Go ahead, take your best shot right now. Baseball news. Marlins, Yankees, which means Jeets will be back at the stadium. Only Jeets will not be back at the stadium. He says it would be too awkward. Not nearly as awkward as everything else he has said and done since taking over there. But I've got thoughts on it, which I will get to. In the NHL, you know, I told you Cap fans not to panic after game one. But after blowing a 2-goal lead twice in game two, now you're headed back to CBUS, down 2-0. Now might be a pretty good time to panic. Now you've got to win 4 out of 5, and you lost your home ice. I will break that down for you, too. Email number one from at SA Sports Honk. Why the hell would Joel Embiid even bother showing up to a playoff game that he wasn't playing in? Who does that? Sign Kawhi Leonard. Weird story, right, in San Antonio. Also, a Yahoo Sports report has it that he is going to miss the rest of the postseason now. So you've got the San Antonio Spurs medical staff, which has cleared Kawhi to play. Kawhi's own medical team has not cleared him to play. And they're waiting for him to come back, and now there's speculation that he's going to miss the postseason. Greg Popovich was asked about that and said, you got to ask his team. And now, as you can see, Spurs fans are starting to get upset and turn on Kawhi as well. Why, just because your coach said your team had that look of the deer in the headlights and got hammered in game one? Yeah, that'll happen when you're without your best player. Of course, the Golden State Warriors were without their star player too. But that didn't matter. Ed Hedstrom Bacon tweets, calling someone fat is not a take. But come on, Jim. What the hell are we supposed to call Bartolo Colon? Wore wood scopes. I don't know, man. Awesome? Incredible? Perfect, even if the scoreboard says otherwise. I tweeted as much afterwards. Yeah, he lost that perfect game. This dude's perfect in my eyes. Not fat, man. Athletic. Athletic and perfect. This guy's gained 100 pounds over the course of his career and just keeps getting better and better. Dear Jimmos, the subject of this is C-A-P-S, caps, caps, caps. Jimmos, at this point, I think a junior league team could take out these chokers in a 7-game series. Stephen S.A., it is strange, isn't it? Man, I'm not the guy who goes to the curse, but are they cursed? How can this be? How can this be happening again to a team with that kind of quality and that kind of coaching staff? Awfully hard to explain, but it's happening again. Let's say somebody who probably can't explain it, Pierre McGuire. And that's who we're going to run to in a few minutes. Telephone number is toll-free. It's wide open. Use it. Get up in here. Pierre McGuire joins me next. Clones, I know a lot of you out there had a bad night. And I can tell you how I know this. Number one, it's Sunday. A lot of people do not sleep well on Sunday. Also, I know because I'm scrolling through TweetDeck and my Twitter feed, and I can see your tweets. And I know your phone calls. You didn't get a good night of sleep. And probably because either you snore or the person next to you snores, but I've got the answer. The revolutionary Zipa device. Zipa is a game changer. If you snore, you are not sleeping. If you are not sleeping, you are not succeeding. If you want success, you've got to be at your best. Zipa is the solution that helps you get that great night of sleep so you feel your best in the morning. Everybody who sleeps next to you has got to get that sleep. But you're preventing it from happening because you snore, so you need to own this. Zipa is the only snoring solution of its kind. So if you snore, you got to get one. I want you to go to ZYPPAH.com right now. Zipa is happy, Z spelled backwards. Go to Zipa.com right now and get a Zipa. Zipa, Z-Y-P-P-A-H. Zipa. Get the great night of sleep that you need and you deserve with a Zipa.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Hour number one on this Monday, we're talking NBA playoffs and NHL playoffs. Pierre McGuire joins me momentarily. At the Uncle Z tweets, you run into the Red Lobster at Javier's? If it wasn't the Red Lobster, was it the situation maybe? Hey, oh, what you gonna do?
Oh, hey, what are you gonna do?
That's pretty much the whole point. You don't know who you're gonna run into there. You never know who you're gonna run into there. Might have been. I'm not there yet. But if you want to get out in front of it, who do you think that I may have run into at Javier's? And again, there's a number of Javier's. A number in Orange County. There's one in Los Angeles. There's one in Mexico. There's one in Vegas. I'm talking about one of the restaurants in Orange County. Who do you think I ran into on a Friday night there? Jason in Nashville tweets, was it either Ron Say or Steve Garvey? I see what card you're playing. Pick three player tweets, I'm going with Val Kilmer for the Javier's bump in. Tony Young, Don Knotts. I'm not going to say any of these things are right or any of them are wrong. Keep guessing. Keep guessing. That's coming up in a moment. We're talking about the NHL playoffs. We are efforting Pierre Maguire. Also, the LA Kings in big trouble already, which means the Vegas Knights, Golden Knights, are on the verge of advancing. As promised, we're joined right now by an analyst for NBC Hockey, a scout and an assistant coach for the Penguins, and part of the organization's back-to-back Stanley Cups. He also spent time with the Whalers and the Sens. He is a Sports Emmy Award winner and a member of the Hockey Hall of Fame Selection Committee. Pierre Maguire is my guest. Pierre, it's that time of year, so I had to run you down. It's so good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Jim. How you doing?
Pierre, I'm great. It's great to hear your voice, and I'm doing really well. I got to ask you, you were on the call for Game 3 of the Pittsburgh-Philadelphia series yesterday. The Penguins absolutely smashed the Flyers 5-1. So how impressed, Pierre, were you with the way Pittsburgh showed up in Game 3 after a Game 2 loss?
I was really impressed with them after the first period. In the first period, they were outshot 11-4, Jim. Philadelphia deserved a ton of credit. They played a very, very strong first period. Matt Murray was a difference in that game. And then in the second and third period, Pittsburgh just took it over. And, you know, it's team effort, but they were fantastically solid the last two periods. And basically in that game, they broke the spirit of the Philadelphia Flyers because of the goaltending performance by Matt Murray in the first 20 minutes of the game.
We're talking to Pierre Maguire. And then, Pierre, Sidney Crosby had a goal and three assists in an arena where everybody was screaming, Crosby sucks, Crosby sucks. This guy had a hat trick in game one in the series. How does Sid look to you right now?
He looks fantastic. He looks probably as strong as I've ever seen him look, not just physically, but athletically. I mean, he's just phenomenally strong. And the big thing that I can tell you is he gets off on that. He loves the fact that the Flyer fans dislike him so much. Look at his career numbers against Philadelphia, both in the playoffs and in the regular season, and how he thrives playing in that building in particular, which is one of the most difficult buildings in the National Hockey League to play in, but it just shows you how intense a competitor he is. I think he loves it when the deck is stacked against him because he always finds a way to overcome it.
Yeah, I mean, Pierre, he's such a huge fuel guy. I understand that, but here's something I don't get. Help me with this. The Penguins are looking for their third straight Stanley Cup. That means Crosby has played a ton of hockey over the last 3 years, 237 regular season games, and then two trips to the Stanley Cup. So how do you explain the fact that he's that dominant despite all those minutes and all those games?
He's the hardest working player in the National Hockey League. I'll give you a case in point. When Nathan McKinnon, who's a superstar with the Colorado Avalanche, was drafted first overall 4 years ago, almost five now, Sidney Crosby and Nathan McKinnon, the day after the draft, they went running sand dunes in the Maritimes in Canada. I mean, that's just the kind of guy he is, and he really, really, really enjoys the work. There are a lot of guys that over time just get fed up with doing the work and the prep. He doesn't. He just loves doing it.
Pierre Maguire joining us. So you've got a guy who does that kind of work, but then you've got the entire room, right? I mean, as I mentioned off the top, you were part of Pittsburgh's back-to-back Stanley Cup wins in the 90s. You know the kind of toll that it takes to repeat. So how would you describe the grind and how big of an accomplishment is it that they've got two straight and a good look at a third?
It's just an amazing accomplishment, Jim, and it's a great question. But the biggest reason why it's so difficult, we had a salary cap in the league, too. And if you look at the organizational losses from the second cup team, last year's team, and Nick Bonino playing in Nashville, Matt Cullen playing in Minnesota, Trevor Daley signing with Detroit, Ron Hainsey playing in Toronto, Marc-Andre Fleury being the goaltender and so popular in Pittsburgh, being the goaltender in Las Vegas. I mean, those are major, major. Chris Kunitz, the longtime Penguin, now being a member of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Those are six major losses from their organization, Jim. And they found a way to plug in young players, so their scouting department's done a good job. They found a way to put in established players like Derek Brassard and Riley Sheahan in trade. So their pro scouting people are doing a great job. So all in all, it's just a magnificently run organization.
Pierre McGuire, NHL analyst for NBC Sports, joins us here in the Jungle. Now, Pierre, you're also working the Boston-Toronto series, and Boston has outscored Toronto 12-4 in the first two games, with their top line accounting for 20 points. How dangerous is that group right now?
They're very dangerous, but this is a different kind of an equation now. They're coming into Toronto, and I just landed here, Jim, because there's terrible weather on the East Coast. I just landed here, and everywhere I went, once I got downtown Toronto, everybody's talking about the Leafs. So it's not just Boston coming here to play Game 3 against the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're basically playing Game 3 against the entire city of Toronto and maybe the whole province of Ontario. I mean, it's just that intense. You know, but Boston's very good. They're well coached. Bruce Cassidy, their young coach, has done a great job with them. But I think the biggest thing is Donnie Sweeney, their general manager, and Cam Neely, their president, Jim. They had phenomenal vision, and they decided to transition their roster a few years ago, and they went young, and they went skillful, and they went fast. And when you put those three things together, especially with the coaching that they have, it leads to a real promising program, and that's exactly what the Bruins have right now.
And we're talking to Pierre McGuire. Pierre, what about Toronto's Nazem Kadri, suspended for three games for that hit? In your opinion, does the punishment fit the crime?
Oh, absolutely. I didn't think the league would give him three, though, Jim. I thought they'd give him two. So you can see they're really drawing the line. George Parros, the dean of discipline, the former Mighty Duck, or actually the former Duck, and King, George Parros, showing a lot of courage by going to three games, because I think they're drawing a line in the sand with the players saying, no more, we're not dealing with cheap shots. And that was definitely a cheap shot when he hit Tommy Wingles from the Boston Bruins in the head into the boards.
We're talking to Pierre McGuire. Now, Pierre, you touched on this briefly, but every hockey conversation I've had this year at some point eventually makes its way back to or turns to the Vegas Golden Knights, and for good reason, right? They're an amazing story. They're up 3-0 on the Kings right now with a chance to close it out tomorrow night. I mean, what's to say about that team, that organization, that they not only won the division, Pierre, but they're on the verge of a first-round sweep in their first season of existence?
Fantastic ownership. Mr. Foley's been outstanding. Great general manager, George McPhee. Awesome coaching staff led by Gerard Gallant. But here's the biggest thing. They had a vision when they went to build their team. Now, the expansion rules for the draft were really doctored so they could get out of the gate kind of swinging and having a chance to hit a home run. Well, they did that. But what they focused in on, Jim, when they went to go pick players, they wanted players that were coachable, they wanted players that had character, and they wanted players who skated quickly. You put those three things together, and then you got a chance, because of the coachability part, to really make your program strong. So they've done a great job, and getting Marc-Andre Fleury was huge for them. He's the face of the franchise. He's been a fantastic stabilizer and goal. It is one of the most difficult buildings in the league to go play in because their fans are electrifying. It is a great thing for the league, and I'm really happy the fans are loving it out there.
We're talking to Pierre McGuire. Pierre, I know you just got into town, but I want to ask you a couple of things before you go. As everybody who knows you and listens to your analysis knows, you've got an amazing knowledge of junior hockey. As somebody who is so familiar with that life and the bonds that are formed, what was your reaction when you heard about the tragedy involving the Humboldt Broncos?
Well, thanks for asking me, Jim. I was devastated. You know, I have a son who's 15 years old who left home 2 years ago to go play hockey in Boston, so he doesn't even live at home anymore. So you think of that right away because you're part of that family of people that send their children away to play sports and go to school. So we did that, and he did that. He chose to do that. So you think of that. But when I was a young scout in the business, I used to go through Humboldt all the time. The best player I ever saw play there was Brendan Witt, who had a long and very successful career in the National Hockey League. I watched their junior team play the Humboldt Broncos a ton. I saw Michael Nylander play a World Junior Exhibition game there for Team Sweden, where I think he had 4 or 5 points in the game. I mean, I have fond memories of going through there. I was devastated, like probably think most people were, especially most people that are parents that have children involved in sport. Just unbelievable carnage. I still think about it all the time, Jim. I can't believe it happened.
Pierre McGuire, my guest. I appreciate your thoughts on that, Pierre. Also, something else I want to ask you about, Pierre. You were diagnosed with prostate cancer in late 2017. And in true Pierre Maguire fashion, you had the surgery at 5 o'clock the morning after you worked a Blackhawks-Rangers game at Madison Square Garden. I think that, and I've mentioned this a number of times on the show, Pierre, I think that either we all know somebody who has dealt with cancer or we know somebody who knows somebody. It's that insidious. When you think back, when you look back, what do you remember about receiving that news that you had stage one cancer?
I was really shocked by it, to be honest with you, Jim, because I had none of the signs. I had no symptoms at all. I was perfectly healthy. I was still keeping a really aggressive schedule. I was still doing my training that I usually do, and that's pretty intense. I was traveling a ton. So when I found out, I had a brilliant team of doctors led by Dr. Tiwari, Ash Tiwari at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York. And if you Google him, you'll see what I'm talking about. Just a phenomenal man and brilliant surgeon. So we had the surgery on the 4th of January. And the reason why we did that, Dr. Tiwari told me anyway, so I could get to the Olympics in Korea. So about a month later, I was in Korea working the Olympics. But I've had three tests since, and all of them have come back clean, Jim. So I'm really, really grateful to the team of doctors at Mount Sinai and Dr. Tiwari in particular, and also NBC, Jim. They've been just so supportive. It's been amazing. And the hockey family itself and the fans, it's been blowing me out of the water how many people have called or written or sent notes just to say, we're hoping, if you're feeling better and we're praying for you. So I was shocked, Jim, when they told me I had it, and I'm really grateful that we went the aggressive way to try to fix it.
I was going to say, and in true Pierre Maguire fashion, you beat this thing back, and I know you'd be the first to say, but not without a lot of help. You mentioned the hockey family. You're part of also a special family at NBC Sports with Doc Emmerich and Eddie O, both of whom have had their own battles with cancer. What's it meant to you to have their support and for you all to lean on each other?
Oh, man, it's been great. Eddie had, stage 3 colon cancer, and that was a real tough battle for him. We didn't really work with Eddie this fall because of that, and he just battled through it. And Doc and I kept in touch with him almost on a daily basis, and Eddie's doing great right now. I worked with him yesterday in Philadelphia. He's getting ready for his favorite thing.
Yeah, right.
The Kentucky Derby. He loves the horses. So he's getting ready for that, Jim. And Doc Emmerich was great. As soon as I was diagnosed, I called Doc because I think it was 26 or 27 years ago. He had the same thing I had. Surgery was a little different back then. So we had a long talk about the do's and the don'ts. And he's been amazingly helpful and a fantastic resource for me.
Boy, we've covered a lot of stuff this morning. Pierre, one last thing. You were recently named as a member of the Hockey Hall of Fame Selection Committee. Knowing how much this game means to you and how much you treasure its history, what did that honor mean to you?
Oh, you're touching on all the really important things that happened this year and last year. I got the call, believe it or not, in October from Lanny McDonald, who's the head of the Hockey Hall of Fame, and was a great player in his own right and a Stanley Cup champion. And I said to him after about 3 minutes, I said, Lanny, are you messing with me? Is this kind of like a, are you punking me? And he said, no, actually, I'm being totally serious. We have a certain formula that we go through when we replace somebody on the committee, and you measured up into the formula and the vote, and we want to welcome you into the selection committee. Would you feel like you want to do it? And I said, are you kidding me? I'm signing up right now.
Great.
So I had to keep that secret, Jim. I had to keep that secret till March 1st. That's not an easy thing to do.
No, definitely not. What a great honor. What a great honor that is. He is an NBC hockey analyst. Pierre, I think it was kind of aggressive for me to try to get all of that in one segment, but I knew that to get you on the phone, I had to get to as many things as I possibly could. So great to get caught up with you. I know it's your time of year. I'm so glad to see you get that clean bill of health, and I appreciate the friendship. It's so good to have you back on the show, Pierre.
Jim, thanks so much. I hope we can talk again before the end of the first round or maybe even going into the second round, but it's always a pleasure and a privilege to chat with you. Thank you
so
much.
You got it, Pierre. Have a great day, and I will definitely track you down sooner than later. My man's got a deep, deep passion for the sport, Pierre Maguire. He was also a scout and an assistant coach on the Penguins and part of that organization when they went back-to-back earlier, and a Sports Emmy Award winner, and as he just mentioned, a member of the Hockey Hall of Fame Selection Committee, and I can't imagine that's going to mean any more to anybody other than him. And it's good to see him get that clean bill of health, as well as my guy, Eddie O. All right, telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. We are wide open right now until hour number two. Chris Mannix joins us then. Neil O'Shea, Portland Trailblazers, president of basketball ops, joins us in hour number three. More on the NBA playoffs. Also, Dez Bryant, now that he's out of Dallas. I want to talk about the way the Cowboys handled that, the way he's handling that, and where he might end up. All of that straight ahead. and your telephone calls. But first up, here's a sports update on a busy Monday morning.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Monday, as you know, is an ATP Day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question there. I will read one of them or more later on. And in the meantime, you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you got a good look at the XR4 Ti. Now, when I left the studio on Friday, word had it that Hawk was going to get more ink. I've not touched base with him. I don't know whether or not he got it done. When I asked him about that Friday afternoon, he said, hey, look, when you can get a deal on ink, like a happy hour price, you got to do it. I said, Hawk, that's good thinking. That's very good thinking. You want to make a decision that's going to impact the rest of your life and base it on whether or not you can save $5. That's a good play, Hawk. That's a good play. I don't know yet. I have not touched base with him. It's so much better to do these things on air. So we'll do that a little bit later on. Dear Rome, SoCal hockey. And let's not get into that right now. Weather does not work well with snow and ice. So let's not focus on the fourth major sport in this continent and let non-blessed regions claim that sport. Let's focus on important things like real estate, real Mexican food, beaches, and good looks. Signed, John in Huntington Beach. Wore Cal State Fullerton baseball. He's getting all regional with it. Speaking of college baseball, if you saw my Twitter feed, I did take in a UC Santa Barbara, UC Irvine game Saturday at UCI. Gauchos brought the wood, laid the lumber, but they did get us in the rubber game. It was a good day, though. Good day in the sun. Saturday at UCI. Had a big weekend, yo. Had a really big weekend. A tremendous sighting at Javier's. Who do you think that was? Who do you think I ran into? Celebrity slash athlete at Javier's on Friday night. Had some college baseball on Saturday. And, of course, most of my Sundays are spent with travel ball. So a lot of baseball this weekend. Good, good weekend. Meantime, I've got thoughts on Dez Bryant, which I will get to in a moment. As I mentioned, they did a really good job of keeping that story under wraps. But given who they are, given who that guy is, you knew that when that story broke, it was going to hit hard, and it did. And y'all are still guessing. Let's see. Kayak Fish tweets, was it Kirstie Alley?
Kirstie Alley?
Maybe. Maybe. At Steve PHX tweets, you ran into me at Javier's. I work there now. Signed, Scott Service. Cannot believe that's a thing. All right, so up until now, I've not said yes or no to any of them. It's not Scott Service. He does not work there, and it was not him. Again, leave that guy alone. At Jed in Illinois tweets, you ran into Adam Hawk and his friend Dr. Joe because you all had dinner together. Not true. Here's another guess. At Brian C60, at Javier's, did you run into Randall dressed as a valet, then as the host, then as your waiter? He was not stalking me at Javier's. It was not Randall. You know, maybe I should have just done this. Maybe asking you to guess was a bad idea. You're not going about it the right way. I thought I would get good guesses. No, it's not Kirstie Alley. No, it's not Randall. It's not Hawk. It's not Scott Service. I said a great sighting. Celebrity slash athlete. Who would I run into on a Friday night there?
DeMarco Murray.
Do better. DeMarco Murray would be a much better guess.
Mike Forbes.
It was not Forbes.
Jamarcus Russell.
All right. Easy, Alvy. I don't need your guesses. Even Alvy's jumping in on this. Alvy does not know who it is. All right, my thoughts on Dez in a minute. In the meantime, let's go to the phones. I like where this guy's coming from. Now, this guy could go one of two ways. I like that he's coming in consistently, and he's showing up consistently with good content. Except a lot of the calls are ending badly. Badly as in he gets run. So my man Rex in Albuquerque. Hey, Rex, listen to what I'm about to say before I go to you. You're at a fork in the road now, yo. You have to decide who you want to be, what you want to be. Are you going to be that guy who comes in here only to get run, or are you going to be that guy who comes in here to get into the smack off, to do some damage, or maybe even win that thing? Who do you want to be, Rex? What do you want to be, Rex? Which way are you going to go with it, Rex? This call today probably should give us a pretty good indication of how he wants to play it. Let's go there right now. Rex in the ABQ. Rexy, what's up?
I can't take the pressure. You know, Romy, the gulf between the NBA and the NHL playoffs is so great. You could drive LeBag's custom Mercedes Sprinter van in between them. On the one hand, you have the NHL where guys play every game like it's their last, having their faces sliced open by sticks and getting stitched up on the bench so they don't miss a shift, taking vulcanized rubber to their grill on purpose so they can block a shot, and not giving a damn how many chiclets they lose in the process. Then you have the National Bag Association and these attention-seeking tools throwing temper tantrums and threatening to quit social media. I mean, how much perspective are these guys lacking, looking for any reason to bitch and moan about the most trivial situations, taking wheelchairs to locker rooms and missing games to sprained ankles? Do you really think Sidney Crosby is going to miss 1 second of ice time due to an ankle sprain? Get real. War the Golden Knights and war Gidget Girl's new cult. I'm out.
Wow, look at this guy. Go ahead and rack him. Hey, Rex, I got to admit, part of that call I spent looking behind me at your picture. Yo, Big Dog, is it me or are you flashing? Are you flossing a Rolly on your wrist? Do you have a Rolex on, or am I misreading that? And if it is a Rolex, is it a real Rolex? And are you going out of your way like this? Like, yo, man, check me out. Let's see. Hold up now. Let me look. Oh, wrong monitor. There it is. Yeah, bro, that's a Rolex. Rex in Albuquerque. So if you love this guy, you're already about his content, and it doesn't matter. If you want to hate on this guy, hate this guy for flossing up in here with his Rolex. Look at that picture. Look at that thing. Like he had to roll his sleeve up. I was in a store once, and look, I've got one, so don't think that I'm coming to hate on you Rolex owners, all right? And that was not like some... I'm not looking to say, hey, look at me, and I've got one. What I'm saying is this. I went to a jewelry store once, and the person selling the watch to me or trying to sell me a watch said, man, I'll tell you what. It's only the Rolex owners that roll up their sleeve when they walk in here. All the other people who are serious about their timepieces would never do that. It's just guys who own Rolexes. And then sure enough, there's Rex in the ABQ. In his bio shot with the sleeve rolled up and all that bling with his Rolex. Now, again, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I've got one. And that's not like some like kind of false conceit. I just want to be very transparent about this. I'm not cracking. Fellas, if you got a Rolex, I'm not here to crack you. I'm here to crack you if you roll your sleeve up and then you walk into a room so everybody knows you have that timepiece. And there's old Rex right there in the picture. Check him out. Look at him. Look at him. Like, emphatically. Now, if you watch me on TV, you know I gesture quite a bit, so... I'm not saying that you don't do that. Like, I talk with my hands. I'm just saying that guy's timepiece is front and center. And I think he got up in here to floss. But he got racked. He didn't get run. He didn't get racked. And he did mention our cult. Our first cult in the jungle racing operation who still does not have a name. We're not naming the horse Bohica. We're just not doing that. And I've told you before, we're in no rush. How about this? This cult has an older sister who still does not have a name. And that baby is a year old. You don't need to name them until they run. There is no rush. So we're not going to name either one of those horses Bohica. Rome, was it Dane Cook? I heard he enjoys a nice meal. Man, is there anything lamer than that email? Listen to me. Celebrity slash athlete slash personality. And I'm geeked on it. Geeked enough that I brought it up. So think about that for a minute. Somebody play the game the right way. Who do you think I ran into on a Friday night at Javier's when A-listers do show up at that place? And I had not been to that particular restaurant. I usually go to the other one. I had not been to that one in a long time. I could not believe that place was going off. It was amazing. Chris Mannix, next hour. Neil Olshay, coming up in hour number three. And your telephone call is coming up next. 1-800-636-8686. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Do not go anywhere.